Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, thank you for joining us most of all. And we ask you, Lord, to grant us grace today to understand the things that you're saying to us prophetically concerning the times to come and concerning our cooperation with you and concerning your deliverance for your people. Thank you so much, Father, for doing this for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, okay. I'm going to continue on with what we started recently. Man, Child, Judges, and Preserves. This will be part two. Have some very good revelations that have come together here. And we're kind of leaving up where we left off. This first revelation, we're called Jochebed's Preserve the Man-Child. And this was given to Claire Pinar, 7:12-20. Amen. And she said, I was sleeping and I heard the Lord's voice early this morning, be Jochebed. About seven times, that's B. Jochebed. I woke up and thought, who is Jochebed? And then the information came to my mind, but by God. Jochebed birthed and kept the man-child Moses safe before he went to live in Pharaoh's house permanently. In the New Testament, it was Mary who birthed and kept Jesus safe. Of course, that was safe from Herod, who killed all of his brethren. Remember that, okay? Until he went to the temple where he was 12 years old. Now it's your turn to keep the man child safe, unquote. All right. And she puts in the Strong's Concordance, the word Jochebed means the Lord is gloried. He's gloried, or maybe glorified. Amen. Claire said, I don't think this means me personally to care for and protect the man-child, but a corporate Claire, which means brilliance. A corporate brilliance, those who are clothed in brilliance, the spotless bride of Revelation 19:7-8. Yeah. Well, my thoughts on this is it's been repeated through the Bible so many times, we ought to believe it. As Mary kept Jesus, the man-child, safe from Herod's attempts to destroy him, so the same story is told of another man-child type where they were preserved from the witchcraft of Athaliah. 2 Kings 11:2 says, but Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the king's sons that were slain, even him and his nurse, and put them in the bedchamber. And they hid him from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. And, of course, then he was crowned king, as it was with Jesus, and the end-time man-child, too. This is certainly a sign of both, you know, Jesus and the end-time man-child, in whom Jesus lives through his word and through the latter rain anointing, okay? And another time is when the faction tried to destroy all the sons of Gideon, but one man-child who was, yep, again, hidden from them. Abimelech, the factious leader, said in Judges 9:2, speak, I pray you, speaking to the men of Shechem, in the ears of all the men of Shechem, whether it is better for you that all the sons of Jerubbaal, who are 70 persons, rule over you, or that one rule over you. Remember also that I am your bone and your flesh. So he started this faction, tried to usurp the authority that was not his. And down in verse 5, and he went unto his father's house at Ophrah and slew his brethren, the sons of Jerubbaal, being 70 persons upon one stone. But Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, was left, for he hid himself. And let's go down to verse 24. It says that the violence done to the 70 sons of Jerubbaal might come, and that their blood might be laid upon Abimelech, the head of the faction, their brother, who slew them, and upon the men of Shechem, who strengthened his hand to slay his brethren. And of course, all of these parables are going to be worked out today. They are signs not only of what happened physically then, but is happening spiritually now. And then Claire wrote this. She said, incidentally, it is my birthday today, 37. And Joseph was 37 when the famine started in Egypt. Genesis 41 and 46. Joseph was 30 years old, and 7 years on after the years of plenty, he was 37. He is also a type of the man child, yes. And he also was spared the faction of his brethren against him by going to Egypt, just like Jesus. Remember? Jesus went to Egypt, fled to Egypt. His parents took him to Egypt to preserve him. And she goes on speaking about Joseph. She said he was prepared for the tribulation of famine. And as an example, we should be storing up God's word in our hearts and walking in truth so that we are prepared for our own personal and corporate tribulations and famine. There is a famine for the word out there that God's got a solution for, and it's going to be the man-child ministry. And also, there's going to be physical famine out there. And that's a curse that the Lord has spoken upon the land. And the deep state themselves are trying to recapture God's people, I guess you'd say, kind of like Pharaoh headed to the Red Sea. And they're using famine to do that. They're doing everything they can to destroy the breadbasket in America. And, of course, so those two signs are kind of running parallel. Then Claire said, I went off to sleep and dreamed the following. A Catholic lady, this is very interesting, I got these two at the same time. Both of them were talking about Catholicism and using it for a parallel to our day. I went off to sleep and dreamed the following. A Catholic lady I know spent much money on rotten fruit and vegetables and then told her children to throw it all at us. And Claire was saying, my family, for fun. Well, you know, the universal, that's what Catholic means, universal. The universal apostate church has spent much money and only got rotten fruit for it, because you can't have the fruit of Jesus, healthy fruit of Jesus, unless it's the Word of God. I was raised in the Catholic Church. I was never pointed to the Word of God. They didn't respect it as something that could recreate Christ in you, who is the Word of God. And they didn't, and they don't do it today, by except for a few charismatics who are on their way out. So, in fact, everybody's on their way out of the harlot or the daughters of the harlot. Everybody's on their way out. God says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate." Right? Everybody who is a disciple of Christ is on their way out. So, So anyway, they spend much money and only have rotten fruit for it, which they use to separate people from the real church. Okay. Claire said their aim was poor and they missed each time. In other words, they were throwing it at them, but they couldn't connect. And that's because there's no biblical justification for apostasy. We have everything laid down in the scriptures. We're not to depart from it. And if we do, we're under a curse, according to the last four verses of the book. And so there's not much they can do to convince people that love the word and believe the word that they're right. So we picked the fruit up and we threw it in a bin, not upset or offended at all. She then picked up her youngest child, a daughter with red, crazy, curly hair, and threw her in the bin too. Trashed. I believe that the red, crazy, curly-haired youngest child here, this daughter, represents a body called the factious body. And it's the factious seed and rotten fruit of Esau. You know, his name meant red. He was red and hairy. And they, of course, hated their brother Israel. Israel was a type of the man-child. Israel was his name, his given, God-given name. Jacob was called Israel. And Israel was a type of the man-child who brought forth the chosen people, as it will be in our day. These are everything in the Old Testament is a type and shadow of these things, a parable. So anyway, Claire went on. The lady was laughing hysterically. This dream juxtaposes what I was called to be before this dream. The Catholic lady did not keep her child close or love and train her up. Instead, she threw her in a bin, revolting. It's also shows that the fruit of the apostates, both bought and natural, genetic, is rotten and rebellious. It's not an indictment on Catholics. The Catholic woman represents a type of all apostates. Well, I always called her not the mother of the daughter harlots, you know, the mother of the harlots. She's not the mother. That's a much larger picture. But on a smaller scale, she is a mother. I always call her a mother of the harlots of the earth. And that's because all the religions that so-called themselves Protestant who came out of her are also harlots. They didn't go very far from their roots, you know. They stuck with a lot of garbage and didn't make the scriptures their whole plan. And anyway, she went on to say, due to our preparation for tribulation, my family and I were impervious to the rotten fruit when it was hurled at us due to Christ in us and hiding God's word in our hearts. Yes. This will save you from apostasy. It doesn't matter which one of the daughter harlots you're out of. It will save you from that. Christ in you is the real gospel, and it makes us all one in Christ. Didn't Jesus pray? I pray that, Father, that they may be one as we are one. But denominationalism has stepped in and brought forth all these daughters of this harlot church. And so we have this mess. But God's got a solution. I'm going to share it with you in a few minutes here. And she goes on to say, our God is gracious and his loving kindness for his beloved spiritual Israel. Some people don't understand that statement, but the Israel of the New Testament is not natural Israel, according to Paul. It's spiritual Israel, those who are circumcised in heart, not in flesh. Okay? So his loving kindness for his beloved spiritual Israel endures forever. It is impressed on my heart that we must pray for the birthing of the man-child, and we must be like Jochebed spiritually and keep the man-child baby safe in our spiritual warfare. Yeah, for it is Jesus and the man-child by word and by latter rain anointing that will bring the reformation to the church, which will once again walk in the steps of Jesus. And the rest are hardened and will fall away. Okay? So Deuteronomy 18 and 15 says, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me." That was Moses speaking, right? "Unto him you shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, They have well said that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee." Somebody like Moses. Now, Moses was, of course, the clearest type of Jesus, you know, in that he was to bring the people into the wilderness, and he did, and he fed them, and so on and so forth, just like Jesus did in what is translated desert in the New Testament. It was a wilderness. And so he was a type of Jesus in this way. He was a reformer. He was to bring the people to God at the mountain of God, which is the kingdom of God. That was his job. He went there first, and then he was sent to bring them there. Right. And the Lord saying, "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." Well, just like in the Old Testament, when a prophet spoke under the anointing of God, it was a clear word from God. And the word from God, of course, holds people accountable. And the people were held accountable when they didn't listen to the prophets who spoke a word from God. And Jesus, of course, was the prophet that was to be raised up. And Jesus and the man-child is the end-time prophet that is to be raised up, both of them along this order, you know, as the type of Moses points out. And the people will be held accountable to what is said by these people because they speak the word of God just like an Old Testament prophet. By the way, the whole Old Testament, the whole New Testament has a perfect pattern of divisibilities in it that could only be written by God. So we know that it is the word of God, and it was spoken through the prophets and through Jesus, and it will be spoken through the man-child of our day. Okay? And anyway, Claire said, "This confirms that Moses was indeed the deliverer. And we must now pray for the prophet, which was Jesus in his day, and Jesus in the man-child in our day, who will also deliver the people." Amen. Like Psalm 136, 10 through 18. Let me read that to you. "To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his loving kindness endureth forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for his loving kindness endureth forever." Now, of course, that's speaking of Moses, but it also spoke of Jesus, who brought out of the sheepfold, he pointed out, those that were his, and he brought them into the wilderness, and he taught them, and he fed them the manna, right? The New Testament manna. And with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm, the same is going to be repeated in our day. For his loving kindness endureth forever. To him that divided the Red Sea in sunder, for his loving kindness endureth forever, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his loving kindness endureth forever. So we see a prophet being raised up on the order of Moses, in which their enemies will be conquered, and they will be delivered from the oppression of the enemies. Some of those enemies, by the way, would surprise you. It's just like the completeness of what Babylon is, which kept God's people in bondage. It covers not only most of the church, it covered the political system too. So some of that would surprise a lot of people, but we have to come out from among them and be separate. And he's definitely talking about the harlot of Babylon there. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. Now, if you remember, of course, Pharaoh had turned the people loose because of such a judgment upon his head and upon his people, and all of his advisors were saying, "Don't you know Egypt is destroyed? Let them go." So he finally gave in and let them go. But then he had thoughts later about recapturing them. And of course, the deep state has done that. You know, they lost on election, and the faction in the church is the same thing. They lost, but they still think they're going to bring God's people back into bondage. No, not God's people, not the bride. To him that led his people through the wilderness, for his loving kindness endureth forever. The wilderness, by the way, in Revelation chapter 12 and Revelation chapter 17 is the first and second 3.5 years of the tribulation, respectively. To him that smote great kings. Wow. Is it ever happening now in the Trump parallel that he is smiting great kings? And of course, Moses and the people of God did too, etc., etc. For his loving kindness endureth forever, and slew famous kings, for his loving kindness endureth forever. Yes, God's got a plan to set his people free, and he will do it. They're coming out of Egypt, you know, after 400 years of paganism all around them, and so on and so forth. And of course, some of it they had absorbed. That was obvious from the fact that they built the golden calf, which was an Egyptian idol. So they had all this idolatry in them. And coming out of Egypt is coming out of apostasy for them, you see. They fell away while in Egypt. And this falling away, there's good news about this falling away. There are a multitude of people in the falling away that are going to come back to the Lord. And, of course, that's why he was leading them through the wilderness to the promised land, to bring them back to the Lord. So this next revelation is very similar to this one, surprisingly similar. Some of the exact same things are here. The Catholic Church is also brought forth as an example, just like this one. And we called it the Lion of Judah sets the captives free. Now, you'll probably rejoice over this because we all know people that are in this condition, this apostasy, among the daughters of the harlot. She is the mother of the harlots of the earth, right? So there, we're looking at the big picture, the little picture being Catholicism, universal. But there is a really true universal apostate church that's much bigger than Catholicism. And that's why the Lord is just using them as a type and a shadow here of the larger apostate church, which includes all of the daughters that were in the mother, right? So, Lion of Judah sets the captives free. That was given to Eve Brass on 9/9/20. But we got both of these at relatively the same time, even though they the previous dream was given earlier. I had this dream on my grandmother's birthday. Wow. Okay. And her name was Sally. And she said Sally means princess and is a nickname for Sarah. I didn't know that. That's good. You know, grandmother in many dreams represents the ancient true church of which we are members of, the body of, right? And Sarah was the mother of the seed of Abraham, who we are by faith. We are, if you walk by faith and not try to be justified by the law, then you're of the seed of Abraham, as Paul said. But the modern church has to be delivered to come into this. They're not really taking part in this. Edom, which we point out so often, was not of the chosen seed. Okay, and so there's a great apostasy from the Ishmaelites and the Edomites that broke off of Abraham to go their own way and actually to come back and persecute the chosen seed. Right, and today it's the same. There are people who claim to be Christians who broke off of the lineage of Abraham because they don't no longer walk by faith, repentance and faith. And so they would have to repent and return to the chosen seed. There's a great falling away among all the denominations, all the daughters of the mother harlot, right? A great falling away, just as Jesus and his disciples said would happen. It has happened. So the modern church, which is in apostasy, has to come into this. And she gave a text here, which is, you know, naturally true and spiritually true too. 1 Peter 3:3-6. Whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of braiding of the hair, and of wearing of jewels of gold, or of putting on apparel, or a fancy church, or... no, I added that in. You don't want to do that. Okay, so these things that people think are important, the physical that they think is important, which is not. It's not. But let it be the hidden man of the heart. Here we go. You can be a child of Sarah in your heart, even though your flesh could never be a child of Sarah. And in the incorruptible apparel of a meek and a quiet spirit. So we're talking about the person themselves, who they are. What is the quality of this person? Which is in the sight of God of great price. See, God is choosing a bride. And the bride will be somewhat like Sarah, you know. The incorruptible apparel of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner aforetime, the holy women also, who hoped in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose children ye are now, if you do well, and are not put in fear by any terror. So you see that Sarah represents, you know, the mother that brought forth the real seed of Abraham, right? And there's a fake church out there, of course, that is doesn't have anything to do with this, and the people need to be born again. I was raised in the Catholic Church, but I was never born again, and they never told me I had to be born again until I read the Bible. I said, oh, no, I missed it, you know. So, I mean, I was on my way to hell, and nobody there told me. In fact, they just had all these things that they put in the place of the things that are sanctified things in the kingdom. You know, they just made replicas of things that had nothing to do with the real thing. So, anyway, Eve went on to say, I dreamed that I was standing off on the right side of the sanctuary of an old Catholic church cathedral, like the historic ones that you see over in Europe. Well, and some in this country, too. Yeah. Catholicism is a mother of harlots. Read Revelation 17. You'll see many similarities. However, that is a much bigger parable there. It includes others besides the Catholic Church. Meaning, many apostate churches that came out of her. Okay, she's a mother of harlots. And those are the apostate churches that came out of her. And all of them are included in this mother's body. So remember that we're speaking of a much larger situation. Okay. Catholic means universal. And of course, it was an attempt to bring together the different schisms of Christianity with a lot of other religions. And Catholicism is a mixture of a lot of religions together, which Constantine, wanting to unite his kingdom, decided one religion would be better than so many religions, and he joined them in what became the Catholic or Universal Church. Of course, it's a pollution. It's leaven that leavened the whole lump, and it doesn't reflect Christianity as described in the Bible or in the New Testament. And this universal church represents the worldwide apostate Babylonish church system. Yes, it does. And Eve said, I was nearer to the back of the church where the front doors were located. The doors were double doors, made of polished wood with ornate carvings in them, and I could see that all the pews were also very ornate and made of the same polished wood. You know, the Catholic Church put a lot of stock in ceremony and beautiful things, beautiful windows, beautiful wood, all of this. But you see, if it's full of dead men's bones, it's not going to do you a bit of good, because God's not impressed with that stuff. Jesus taught his disciples sitting on a rock out in the wilderness, for goodness sake. You know, he didn't care about those things. That's not important. The important thing is the church, being ourselves, should be the called out ones. He called his disciples out of apostate Judaism at the time, and we're called out of apostate Christianity today. So that was a type of this. Okay. And the cushions on the pews were a faded evergreen color, and there were many colorful statues all around inside the sanctuary. I remember all this from when I was a child, you know, plenty of statues, you know, that they say represented this saint and that saint and, you know, Moses and whatever, you know, they had all these, and, of course, they didn't mean anything. They were just idols. And the faded evergreen cushions, Eve said, represent the fading or loss of the true gospel that brings eternal life. Green represents life, right, to those that hear. And the apostate church is full of leaven and idolatry. Yes, it is. And I'm not just talking about the Catholic Church, but those that came out of her and everything that departed from Christianity from the early disciples. So I'm not being prejudiced here at all. Apostasy is apostasy, a falling away from the original, which is the Bible itself, is what we're talking about. Okay. I was observing the many people who crowded this church. They were all sitting quietly, and they seemed to be waiting for something. Yes, whether they know it or not, they are waiting for something, something really grand, and at the same time, really terrible. So sometimes it takes the terrible to drive people to the grand, right? And she said, well, maybe they were waiting for a priest or a preacher to teach them, because that's what we did not get in the Catholic Church, is teaching that actually put the Word of God in our hearts so that we could walk in the steps of Jesus. The Word of God is supernatural. It's the seed of Jesus. We don't need people to give us a catechism. We don't need that. We need the Word of God in our hearts. It's the only thing that will bring forth Jesus, the same Jesus that walked in the Middle East in those days. And they seem to have been there for a long, long time, waiting, but no one showed up. That's kind of like when Jesus came, right? They were waiting, expecting the manifestation of the Messiah. They were expecting it, but no one showed up. And she said, representing those who have been in captivity to the apostate religious system for many years. This is true. And we're in a similar situation with the apostate church as the Jews were in their day when Jesus came. They were expecting. And he showed up, but they couldn't admit it because they were too apostate to recognize him. Today is the same thing. He's going to show up, but they're not going to admit it in some cases because they don't recognize him because they're too apostate. God's ways are not our ways. His nature is not the fallen nature of religion, man-made religion especially. Suddenly, a very large male lion, she says, representing Jesus, the Lion of Judah, the man-child. Yes. Now, we know that Jesus came, to the Middle East as an individual, but he promised to come again as a man-child born to a woman in John 16. He promised to come again. And when you look through the book, you come to Revelation chapter 12, where we talk about corporate bodies. If God was not just going to share his gospel with the Middle East, but the whole world of Christianity, and those who are to be Christians, he would need more than one person to do it. And that's why when Jesus left, there was created a body of Christ, which is a corporate body in whom Christ was supposed to live. Had they held fast to the Word of God, that would have happened, but they didn't. So now we need a reformer, and the Lord himself is going to be the reformer in the ways that I've spoken, right? So a very large male lion came through the front doors of the cathedral and leaped up onto the top of the pews right in front of me. His front paws on the back of one pew and his back paws on the back of the other pew. In the dream, I knew that this lion was ready for mating. Well, I know what that means. It means that the Lion of Judah wants only his seed, which brings forth his life in the people. The people, problematically, are full of the seed of men, which cannot bring forth God's life. It is not of God. It's not the, like in Matthew 13, three places in Matthew 13 use the word seed, and it comes from the word sperma, And it's talking about the sperma of Jesus. Not naturally, but spiritually. The seed is the word of God. He sowed it in the hearts of men. And one out of four that he sowed it in brought forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. So it's only that seed that can bring forth Jesus. And that's the only way a Christian can be a Christian, is with the word of God in their hearts. And the problem is, all these churches don't know what the Word of God says. And they're taking for granted they're people who went to Bible school, just like the Pharisees went to Bible school. So these are the theologians. They're supposed to be telling us what this book means. Go read it for yourself. It says you have no need that any man should teach you. You have an anointing from the Holy One. Go read it for yourself. If you can't do any better, go home. Don't go to church. Read the Bible. Read it, read it, read it, read it until you know what a church looks like. And then you can search for your brethren out there. Otherwise, you'll get caught up in one of these apostate situations. Okay? I watched as the lion lifted his head and let out a fierce and angry roar of jealousy, like he was staking a claim and a dominion over all the people in this church. Ooh, wow. Staking a claim over the people in that church? That's neat. This roar, I believe, represents the threat of the Lord's judgment against the apostate church, which we've been talking to you about. We've been saying how that the deep state is going to use their minions, they're anarchists of different forms and different flags to come against the church in these days, burning them, come against the Christians in these days, so on and so forth. And, of course, it's happening. It's starting to happen. And so the deep state leftists will lose their anarchists, loose their anarchist troops against her. And so we have to be ready for this, because they're going to run to Jesus. There are going to be a large group of these people that are going to decide that there's only safety in Jesus. He's the secret place of the Most High, Psalm 91. So you have to be in the secret place in order to escape this judgment. Amos 1 and 2 says, and he said, the Lord will roar from Zion. Zion is the bride. He's coming in a body. He always did live in that body, even in the Old Testament, after a form, you know, after a parable, because the temple was in Zion. They were the Spirit-filled people. Okay, and the others apostatized, turned away, didn't pay any attention to the temple of God, or the voice of God coming out of that temple. They didn't pay any attention. They were a falling away. So, the Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, which, you know, John was told in Revelation was the bride. Amen. And the pastures of the shepherds shall mourn. Obviously, because they don't want to hear the voice of the shepherd. Same with Jesus. The denominations of Judaism in the days of Jesus, they were mourning. You know, people were following Jesus and leaving them, right? He was calling his sheep out by name, out of the sheepfold, which was apostate Judaism. He called them out. And the top of Carmel shall wither. In verses 9 through 12, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyre, yea, for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they delivered up the whole people to Edom. So those who hated and persecuted their chosen brothers, Israel, who was a type of the church. That's what Edom represents. And remember not the brotherly covenant, but I will send a fire on the wall of Tyre. And I believe Tyre, as I've taught for many, many years, the Lord showed me was Babylon. It's the deep state Babylon, which is dying. And it shall devour the palaces thereof, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom, yea, for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof. The Lord is angry with Edom. It has killed his children. The faction has killed his children, and they try to kill the man-child too. Because he did pursue his brother with the sword and did cast off all pity, and his anger did tear perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever. But I will send a fire upon Teman, and it shall devour the palaces of Bozrah. Bozrah is the sheepfold of Edom, the apostates, the faction against Israel. So, the morning before I began to put some notes in this dream, we received by faith at random these confirmations of the lion's roar of this threatened judgment that we're talking about. Amber got Joel 3:16-18. And the Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. Remember, the word says, yet once more will I shake not only the heavens but the earth. In Haggai and in Hebrews, Paul said that this is going to happen. We are coming to this shaking. Okay. Once more. Okay. I personally believe it's Planet X. But the Lord will be a refuge unto his people. Yes, he will. And a stronghold to the children of Israel as a type of the church, right? Israel in the Old Testament is a type of the church in the New. And many of whom will turn from idolatry with the apostates and run to the shelter of abiding in Jesus, the Word. Yes, they're going to understand that they need God and that they haven't been getting God, nor do they know God, and they're full of fear of the judgments that are coming against the apostate churches, including the hatred that the anarchists are going to perform against the church buildings and against the church people and against the right wing. These are troops that have many of them imported from many parts of the world and brought in here as though they are Americans and as though their opinion matters. It doesn't. So shall you know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Well, look, they got a revelation that the God who dwells in Zion is their God. They got a revelation. This threat brought them to a place of getting a revelation that they needed desperately, because now they knew they needed God. They knew that the words that they got from their apostate leaders was not going to keep them in the wilderness, because these guys had never been in the wilderness. Moses had been through the wilderness. He understood it. He knew how to get there. He knew how to get to the mountain of God. They didn't know how to get to the mountain of God, which is the kingdom of God. The revelation that the people in apostasy got when the lion roared is this, you know, the revelation of who God is and that they don't know him. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her anymore. Oh, that's good, because this has been happening. Strangers have been passing through. They were found to be strangers, and they went on through and got out. That's good. God is sanctifying a bride, you see. And so the strangers coming through are polluting the bride. And they prove who they are when they reject the word of God, reject the people of God, turn against the people of God, especially and against their leadership and these things. So, this is all happening. Then the fruit of Jesus will be born in his people when they realize what's going on. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down sweet wine. And wine, of course, represents the blood of Jesus, which is the nature. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Okay. And the hills shall flow with milk, which is the foundation for the meat, right? The babies are on the milk and the grown-ups on the meat, right? But they don't even have the milk right. You know, they got the milk wrong. And all the brooks of Judah shall flow with waters. That's living waters. Flowing waters was living waters. And a fountain shall come forth from the house of the Lord and shall water the valley of Shittim. Okay, that's what we need. That fountain that comes forth from the house of the Lord. And that will bless God's people. Amen. And Sue Gilbert got Jeremiah 25:27-31. Notice the lion. Notice the roar. And what this is actually talking about. You know. And thou shalt say unto them, and that is Babylon, the deep state, and their followers. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, drink ye and be drunken and spew and fall and rise no more because of the sword which I will send among you. Okay, that's a terrifying thing, right? And it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup at thy hand to drink, then shalt thou say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, you shall surely drink. Babylon is surely going to drink. For lo, I begin to work evil at the city which is called by my name. In other words, Jerusalem, the bride, had to be born again, sanctified, so on and so forth. He began there because the sequence of events is you use the wicked to perfect the righteous, then you destroy the wicked. That's what God's done throughout Scripture, throughout the history of the world. He raised up beasts to come against his people when they apostatized to bring them to repentance, and when they came to repentance, he delivered them. And then he destroyed their enemy. That's the way it works. That's God's MO, right? For lo, I begin to work evil at the city which is called by my name, and should ye be utterly unpunished, you shall not be unpunished. For I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth. Truly, this is happening all over the world. There is a world war going on right now. The right fighting against the left, taking down their underground cities which are around the world, and their underground tunnels, and delivering the captives that they have down there to fulfill their lusts, you know, and to satisfy their Lord Satan. Yeah. You shall not be unpunished, for I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, the Lord will roar from on high, you know, just like that lion in front of Eve there. The Lord will roar from on high and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He will mightily roar against his fold. And in this case, it was what? A fold full of apostates. Yes, they need to know God, and they need to fear the Lord first. So the lions roar. He will give a shout as they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. A noise shall come even to the end of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He will enter into judgment with all flesh. As for the wicked, he will give them to the sword, saith the Lord. Now, of course, when the Lord went through Egypt, who did he have on his chain? The destroyer, Apollyon. And also you can see planet X there, because that's what the Egyptians said they saw when they looked up, is a planet flying over which was bringing devastation to the earth, a fearful thing. People who needed to cry out to know God, they'd probably heard a gospel message one time in their life at least, and they were crying out to God, no doubt. It seemed like I was the only one who witnessed any of this and heard his roar. But as soon as the roar went out over the congregation, they all suddenly sat up straight and got a revelation. As soon as the roar. Now, we've looked at what the roar was, judgments coming upon the earth from God, right? And some of that's, like I said, coming through the deep state. They got a revelation when they heard the roar went forth. It didn't say they heard it. She heard it, right? But the roar went forth. It was something other than a physical roar, right? And the revelation they got is that this apostasy is not the truth. It's not bringing forth any fruit. It's not saving us from this evil. Look at these people over here, these Christians, you know. Look at, or the non-spirit-filled Christians looking at the spirit-filled Christians with a smile on their face, realizing that these people got something we don't have, and we need that. And it goes, I went on to say that they feel a need to shelter from this storm in God. They will seek knowledge of the Lord instead of depending upon religious leaders who have no answers or salvation. He said they began to go into the back part of the church where all the Sunday school rooms were and the large cafeteria where the food was to be served. And we're going to see that when they went to the cafeteria, that a little further down in this revelation, that the church changed hands to a new pastor at this time when they went to the cafeteria. The church changed hands, a new pastor. Because you can't go to their old cafeteria. They're not feeding. They don't feed, you know. Hosea 11:8-12. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim, which is called the fullness of nations in the scriptures? Yeah. How shall I give? So it's talking about the church, the apostate church of the fullness of nations. That's what Ephraim represents here. How shall I cast thee off, Israel? So all these apostates, he's calling Ephraim. But then when he spoke about Ephraim, Ephraim was apostate. They had gone to the golden calves, you know, basically. They turned away from the true temple of God in Jerusalem, the bride, and the leadership under David, of course, and under the bride as a type and a shadow, right? How shall I make thee as Admah? How shall I set thee as Zeboim? My heart is turned within me. My compassions are kindled together. I will not execute the fierceness of mine anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not man, the Holy One in the midst of thee. There's the new pastor. The Lord, the Holy One in the midst of thee. He's returning, and he's coming to his apostates. And he's going to put the fear of the Lord in them with the roar. And he's going to bring them to repentance. Have you been praying for this? I know you have. I have too. And I will not come in wrath. They shall walk after the Lord. Well, they never did that before. This is a new thing. They must have a new pastor. They shall walk after the Lord, who will roar like a lion. For he will roar, and the children shall come trembling from the west. Yes, they will. They shall come trembling as a bird out of Egypt and as a dove out of the land of Assyria. That was the beast, right, that conquered God's people. And Egypt too, you know, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome. They all had their part in conquering God's people and bringing them to repentance and bringing them back to God, right, as vessels of dishonor. And I will make them to dwell in their houses, says the Lord. Ephraim compasseth me with falsehood, and the house of Israel with deceit. Well, that's all there is in the apostate church. falsehood and deceit and backsliddenness, right? Falling away. But Judah yet ruleth with God and is faithful with the Holy One. So the new bride is going to be the new leadership. As John the Baptist said when he saw Jesus the man-child and the disciples following him, the first fruits disciples following him, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. There was the bridegroom and the bride. And they were the head of the newly created church, the called out ones. Where did those people in the bride come from? They came out of the apostate denominations of Judaism. And so today, same thing. You must come out of the apostate denominations of Christianity. That's not where it's at. The Shulamite in Song of Solomon was faced with these people. 70 queens, 80 concubines, and virgins without number. But my love, my undefiled, is one. One. Come out from among them. Be separate. Follow the Lord. Get your Bible out. Find out what you never knew. Just reading it, asking the Lord with that anointing that he says he gave you. Isaiah 42:13-17 says, the Lord will go forth as a mighty man. He will stir up his zeal like a man of war. He will cry, yea, he will shout aloud. He will do mightily against his enemies. Boy, I tell you, the Red Sea is coming, folks, and they're going down. I have long time holding my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry out like a travailing woman. I will gasp and pant together. I will lay waste mountains and hills and dry up all their herbs. And I will make the rivers islands, and I will dry up the pools, and I will bring the blind by a way that they know not, the blind. In paths that they know not will I lead them. They don't know it yet. They're going to learn it. They're going to seek it earnestly when the lion roars. And I will make darkness light before them and crooked places straight. These things will I do, and I will not forsake them. They shall be turned back, they shall be utterly put to shame that trust in graven images, that say unto molten images, you are our gods. Okay. Well, when the apostate people knew they needed salvation and answers because of judgment, the man-child showed up. Yeah. Here it is, Hosea 5:14-15. For I will be unto Ephraim, called literally the fullness of nations, in Genesis 48:19, like its New Testament equivalent, universal church, both fell into apostasy, right? I will be unto Ephraim as a lion, as a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear and go away. I will carry off, and there shall be none to deliver. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. There you go. You see, why did the apostates turn to the Lord? There it is. In their affliction, they will seek me earnestly. And then 6:1. Come, and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. Torn is something that a lion does, right? Yes. After 2 days will he revive us, and on the third day he will raise us up. And we are, of course, on the 3,000-year day. A day is unto the Lord as 1,000 years. We're on the morning of the third day. Now, on the third day will raise us up, and we shall live before him. Let us know, let us follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is as sure as the morning. So it's the morning of the third day. And he will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain that watereth the earth. He's coming as the latter rain. How did Jesus come as the former rain? How is Jesus coming again at the beginning of the tribulation as the latter rain? He's not coming in his person. I'm so sorry. There's no rapture. Not there. I'm not sorry. I know what we need. We need Jesus. There's no one that's ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven. That's Jesus. You got to have Jesus in you. That's the one that's going to be raptured. Right? So Jesus in the man-child body of reformers comes in the anointing of the latter rain. This is how he's going to come. Jesus came in the body of the Son of David. And spiritually speaking, that's what he's going to do again. He called himself the Son of Man because inside the man was the Son of God. Yeah. Then the scene changed and I found myself in the Sunday school nursery. I had an infant boy, 3 weeks old, that looked like he was of Middle Eastern descent. Wonder who that could be. Laying on a changing table in front of me and representing the birth of the man-child ministry. 3 weeks is 21 days, or 3 times 7. In the Bible, the number 21 is a symbol of perfection and maturity. It symbolizes the divine wisdom, the mirror of eternal light, which pierces and penetrates all grace in its purity, unquote. There are 21 chapters in the Gospel of John and 21 attributes of wisdom. I was putting a yellow diaper on him, meaning he was clothed with the sun, S-U-N/S-O-N, right? I realized that I was his mother and that he belonged to me. And, of course, Eve represents the bride in quite a few visions because of Eve being the bride of the first Adam. And now Eve being the bride of the last Adam, right? So Eve here represents the bride. But I wasn't familiar with the father and wondered at the fact that he was so genetically different from me. I thought in the dream, how can this be that I gave birth to this baby when I didn't know his father? Well, that's very simple. This is similar to the story of Jesus' birth, right? I believe this baby, she said, represents the manifestation of the man-child out of the bride body. Yep, I agree 100%. That's what it's talking about. And also, this is a virgin birth of the man-child as the son of David. Remember that it was the seed of the woman that bruised the serpent's head. It wasn't the seed of David. Through David or through the man, it was the seed of the woman. It came through Mary. You say, how do they do that? I don't know. God knows how to do that. That's what the Bible says. And the son of David came through Mary, who didn't know the father. The son of God came in the son of man. The spirit man came in the flesh of man. If you don't believe it, Romans 1, 3, and 4. Concerning his son, who was born of the seed of David, according to the flesh. But it was Mary. Joseph had nothing to do with it. Who was declared to be the son of God with power. So you got the son of man, and inside that, the son of God with power, according to the Spirit. The spirit man was the son of God. And the flesh man was born of the seed of David. Believe it. Believe it. By the resurrection from the dead, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Many of my friends and family, Eve said, were coming to see the baby, representing the promise of household salvation, she says, along with many of the people from the sanctuary of the Catholic Church. Oh, praise God. The apostates are coming, you know. They're going to turn to the Lord, just like many did in Jesus' day. He was the beginning of a great revival. And many revelations of great evil in their churches will become known. And it will open their eyes. Do you know that? It's going to become known. And He went on to say it was very crowded and the people were lined up outside the room waiting until some left in order that they could come in and see the baby. Many people will come, I think, from all over to see and hear the man-child, Eve said. My best friend from high school, Renee, meaning rebirth. Okay, what happens to the people that are among the apostates who get born again? Well, watch. Managed to bypass all the people representing those born out of the apostasy, right? And she came up to me and looked at the baby and smiled at me and was telling me how special and important this baby was. She said, look at all these people who have come to see him. She said, Renee reminds me in this dream of the prophetess Anna, who prophesied over Jesus when his parents took him to the temple for circumcision. Luke 2:36-38. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. 37 goes on to say, and she had been a widow even unto 84 years, on 4 years, who departed not from the temple, worshiping in fastings and supplications night and day. And coming up to that very hour, she gave thanks unto God and spake of him to all them that were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Yes, excitement around the man child. And after this, I left the Sunday school area with many other sisters, and we went to the cafeteria that was connected. Remember, it's a new pastor, so it's not the cafeteria of the Catholic Church. They're actually going to feed food here, real food. And we went to the cafeteria that was connected to the Sunday school classrooms, and we stood in line to get our food. The Sunday school represents the humble beginnings of the gospel, the word, which we heard in the beginning. We must become like little children to enter the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said. And we got up to where the cafeteria workers were handing us the plates of food. Well, you know, the food is spiritual food. It represents spiritual food, the manna from heaven, the word of God that comes down to give life to the world, to give life, protection, deliverance, healing, etc. All that comes out of the word and to those who believe it. Eve went on to say, they told us that all the food was free from now on, as per the orders of the new pastor. Pastor means shepherd, you know. Who's our shepherd? Yeah. And the apostate pastors have plundered the people, charging them for this, charging them for that, getting, you know, all salaries and having 7 airplanes and 17 airplanes. And, you know, anyway, the new pastor, Jesus, commanded, freely you have received, freely give. And get you no gold or silver in your purses. That don't sound like these prosperity preachers nowadays, does it? Or even the apostate Catholic Church. It's the richest church in the world by far. Up until Trump repatriated trillions and trillions of dollars from them. This morning, in our morning meeting, I received by faith at random Isaiah 55:2. In context, 1 through 11. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat. The real food is not being charged. You're not being charged for that. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. How is it that we buy it? We have to buy it with our life. You lose your life to gain your life. If you don't repent and lose your life, you're not going to understand, nor receive, nor keep the word. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. Yeah. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him, that's Jesus in the man-child body, for a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander to the peoples. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and a nation that knew not thee shall run unto thee. Here it is. Because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Yes, the apostates are going to run to Jesus, and Jesus in the man-child. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to your God, for he will abundantly pardon. Okay. I'm going to skip on down just a little bit. We were so happy that we didn't have to worry about having money to eat anymore. Yeah. Pass the hat, right? I remember the change jingling in the basket when it went around the Catholic Church when I was a kid. Just clink, clink, clink. Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Yea, wisdom and instruction and understanding. God is calling for a jubilee for his people. Yes. You know, we are free in Christ. No longer in bondage to men or religion. The man-child body will declare this jubilee, this liberty, as the man-child Jesus did in Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty. There it is. That's your jubilee right there. To the captives and the openings of the prison to them that are bound. Where were they bound? In their dead religions. And he set them free. And that's what that lion did. Notice. Judy received in our morning meeting on 9:10:20, Jeremiah 34:13-17. Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, I made a covenant with your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, saying, at the end of 7 years, what is at the end of seven? Well, after entering the Sabbath, which is ceasing from our own works and religion, right? You shall let go every man his brother that is a Hebrew that hath been sold unto thee and hath served thee 6 years. There's a great liberty about to be pronounced by the man-child in our day. Thou shalt let him go free from thee, but your fathers hearkened not unto me, neither inclined their ear, and you were now turned and had done that which is right in mine eyes, in proclaiming liberty every man to his neighbor, and you had made a covenant before me in the house which is called by my name, but you turned and profaned my name and caused every man his servant and every man his handmaiden whom you had let go free at their pleasure to return, and you brought them into subjection. Well, just remember now that when they came out of the house of bondage, Egypt, Pharaoh changed his mind. He was going to go bring them back into subjection. Well, that was a bad deal for Pharaoh and his gang. That bunch of thugs went down in the Red Sea, right? Yes. So, once again, the deep state is attempting to bring back under its thumb the people of God. But that's going to be death to the deep state. Oh, yes, they will bring a chastening, the lion's roar against the apostates. They will do it. They will help to do it. And that will, in turn, cause people to turn to God. And after the freedom Jesus brought unto us, you know, men fell into factious religious bondage of denominationalism. Anyway, you brought them into subjection to be unto you for servants and for handmaids. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, you have not hearkened unto me to proclaim liberty every man to his brother and every man to his neighbor. Behold, I proclaim unto you a liberty, says the Lord, to the sword and to the pestilence and to the famine, which is how Babylon destroyed the apostate leadership and people of God. That's exactly what the Bible says. And I will make you to be tossed to and fro among all the kingdoms of the earth. Well, isn't it amazing that at this particular time, almost all the countries have agreed to a jubilee in which debt is being dissolved between the nations and the peoples. And this will also set them free from the elite's economic system of debt, which has plundered the world for them. In like manner, God will scatter those who hold God's people in bondage. And he's going to bring about his promise to make them one flock and one shepherd. That's the plan. Remember when Moses took these people from all these different sects of Judaism out of Egypt, and they followed one man, one shepherd, who was anointed of the Lord. I went over to a table and set my plate down and decided to go and invite others to this cafeteria to eat with us. The good news, right? So me and another sister from UBM went out into the streets around the church to find others and to bring them in to eat. We saw a brother standing near a stone wall with his arms crossed and looking around like he was waiting for something or someone. Well, that someone is the Lion of Judah, who will set the captives free. The Messiah, the man-child, has come to feed his people. But many, like the Jews, didn't recognize this in their time. The Christians aren't recognizing it in this time. But they will find it out because, you know, Jesus had a way of identifying himself. He went about doing good, healing all who was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He had an anointing on him to set the captives free, to do miracles and signs and wonders, to multiply the food, and so on and so forth. So that was a sign. This is going to be a sign in our day, too. We went up to him and told him to come with us into the cafeteria to eat with us, but he refused to leave that spot. I was really worried because he wouldn't come with us, and I was expressing my concern about him to the sister that was with me all the way back to the cafeteria. I was so concerned that I couldn't eat until I found a way to bring him in. He was our brother, and I was grieved because he was unbelieving about our invitation. He insisted on waiting for something that he thought was still coming, but it had already come. That's what happened to Jesus the first time, right? And then I woke up, she said. Well, the gospel is that salvation, spirit, soul, body, and circumstances, and has already come by way of the sacrifice of Jesus. And that's all we're doing, is we're giving that original invitation, right? Many are waiting, when all they have to do is believe and confess the word. They're waiting for their salvation, but it comes through believing and confessing the word. I asked Father for a word by faith at random for the brother that wouldn't come with us, and my finger was on hunted sheep in Jeremiah 50 and 17. What's the chances of that, right? Israel is a hunted sheep. The lions have driven him away. First, the king of Assyria devoured him, and now at last, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, hath broken his bones. Well, you know, these are beast kingdoms that came against the people of God because of apostasy in the Bible. So it means the same thing in our day. The beast has driven them away from the revelation of the gospel, but the Lord is bringing this new invitation. Glory be to God. I asked Father for a word by faith at random for this dream, and my finger was on, take away the wicked from before the king, in Proverbs 25 and 5. Verse 4, take away the dross from the silver, and there cometh forth a vessel for the refiner. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. Yes. Well, the Lord did that with Jesus, and he's going to do it with the man child. Now, I want to share this with you. It's called Just One Roar of the Lion. And this was recently just sent to me. And it's by S. Jaha, J-H-A. I don't know how you pronounce that. He said, I saw this vision on the 22nd of August, 2006. Okay, but remember, this is an older vision before these things that are happening now, that are coming to pass now. So remember that. Keep this in mind. Well, okay, Father, we thank you that you're going to give this revelation to your people and that they will understand that everything's about to change. I saw a lion. I walked with him to a very high rock. The lion then climbed the rock and stood on the very top of this high rock. I stood below, looking up at him. He let out a roar, a loud roar, and everything in the atmosphere and the universe changed. Whoa. There's that lion's roar. Things changing. I suspect Planet X has something to do with that. I think it's coming through in the spring or early summer. In a flash, I had a 360-degree vision, and what I am about to relate happened in a flash, but I spent the whole of the 22nd of August just waiting on God to see in slow motion what I had seen in a speedy flash and understand what I had seen. So the Lord brought him through it slowly, you know. I was told that my mind could not grasp the vastness of the changes I saw in the vision. So I stayed at home. I did not take up any duties, but spent the whole day, off and on, every few hours, just revisiting this vision and seeing it unfurl in more detail. Now, at a speed that I could cope with, I watched. I don't think I have ever seen such a lengthy vision condensed into a 360-degree vision flash before. Frame by frame, this is what I saw. I saw empires fall and wars begin. Well, the war is happening, okay? The empires are falling. The deep state, which has invaded most countries, is falling fast. And they're also making covert war to stop this. They want to hold on to the people. They're headed towards the Red Sea, trying to bring God's people back into bondage, but you know what happened at the Red Sea. So it's going to get ugly for a while, but God's going to bring us through it. I saw, he said, that where previously formulas and general understanding were proven, it did not work anymore. Things that used to work don't work. And where there were people and places overflowing with money, one moment, the next morning, the moneyed had nothing. Yes, that's happening. This is happening before our eyes. An economic system designed to favor the rich and the criminal is crumbling. And a new economic system is now being put in place that cuts out the criminals. A redistribution of the wealth is happening. And as I have shared in the past, a reversal of fortunes is upon us. Okay. Does that mean it's going to stay there through the trip? No, it's not. No, this is a grace is going to be shown, and many people are not going to appreciate it. Like Jesus said, he cast the demons out of people in his day, and they all came back worse. Yeah. I saw many proven thoughts, he said, and ways now nullified. I saw that the balance was tipped in favor of the East. I saw angels who had been working in the North and the Northwest recalled and sent East. I saw children snatched out of the hands of some of the parents. Well, that's exactly what the demonic Satanists do when they sacrifice children. And as the demonic deep state has been doing for years, stealing the children. But now it's being known. Fresh food stopped in the western area and was diverted to the east. The fertile became barren, and the barren became fertile. All this from just one roar of the lion. You know, the deep state has been destroying our ability to make food through GMO, weather warfare, poisoning from the air, destroying granaries and silos, etc. Yes. But something else is going to happen, a shift in the planet. I saw three long lines of a writing in the sky. It read, lost, lost, lost. But below it, I saw the word gain, gain, gain. Where this line ended, I could not see, as it just continued on endlessly. The gain, the gain, the gain. I saw that the East gained money, food, etc. Well, and the Lord has directed us somewhat in that direction too, surprisingly. And I think there's so many good things going on in the East right now as far as people turning to the Lord. It's amazing. It's astounding. And the food of the gospel, right? Easterners are receiving Christ and the gospel extremely fast. And the losses, he went on to say, were loss of power, prestige, money, position. I saw where a soldier stood to load his gun to shoot. Even the last single bullet he had was taken away. Well, Trump has stopped endless wars of the deep state by the grace of God. And now he's looking at the Nobel Peace Prize for this and making peace between people, right? Where is it all going to lead? Well, I hate to tell you this. It's all going to lead to the mark of the beast. Okay, that's where it's going to lead. But for now, God is using it to bless his people and to rebuild the kingdom, as we've shared with you. And he went on to say, where a soldier stood ready for packing his gun, for packing it up, he meant, where truce had been declared, divine bullets loaded his gun and led him to shoot. Mm-hmm. In the universe, expected cosmic events were diverted and unexpected ones were brought forth. Well, I would say again, we're having a planet pass through here, through our little solar system. It's going to change things. Deserts bloomed, greenery was made barren, light that had focused on the west now moved east. Well, people who are saturated with the gospel light for years and years and years and done nothing with it are going to lose it. Satan is stealing it from their minds. But in the east, many people are hungry. This was so sudden that it was like saying, one morning I woke up and all was changed. Amos 3 and 8. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? The lion has roared, he said. And of course, we've been prophesying these things and they're happening. Dark clouds disintegrated from one place and gathered in another. Have you seen that? Weatherman says this is coming, that's coming, and then suddenly it fizzles out before it gets to you. Whilst there was a west to east exchange on a large level, on individual levels, there were changes too. Everything was changing. All this from just one roar of the lion. Well, there's a reversal of fortunes coming. Just that one roar, and things from here were flying there, and vice versa. People and nations who had got used to a way of life or of thinking were in for either a shock or a surprise. And then he says, change, 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 change. The hungry were fed, and the fed went hungry. I believe the GCR is redistributing the wealth, and we're going to see a lot of this very suddenly. All opposites were happening. Many homeless were housed, and many of those with homes became homeless. Mm-hmm. those who are receiving the wealth, this is my comment, including many Christians, are humanitarians. You know, they want to meet the needs of the poor, as we've said earlier. Light became dark and dark became light. Whatever the present situation, the opposite was happening. Many rich became poor and many poor became rich. And I say that the planet will be tipped by Nibiru and climates will change and prosperity will change with it. All this, just one roar of the lion. Clouds that were meaning to rain suddenly disintegrated and rained elsewhere where least expected. People were in puzzlement. They said to themselves, "But I thought..." No, nothing would be as I thought. Many were saying, "But it always worked this way." No, no more. For those who said, "It's never worked for me," they were surprised to know that it will now. So grace for many things will be taken from the reprobates and given to those hungry for God. Heralds blew trumpets proclaiming, "End of empire, end of empire." Yeah, it's happening under our noses. The deep state has controlled the world for Satan for a long time. Anyone who had been a specialist, monopolist, the kingpin in any area of his life or business, now that would begin to end. Nations that had empires or aspirations building towards it would now see the beginning of the end of those empires. Yeah, the deep state empires are crumbling. Their economy, which favors the rich and the criminal, are falling. Nothing was the same. Everything had changed. Just one roar of the lion, and he has roared. Empty pockets were filled. The field emptied. The new economic system will favor the needy, who will see this as a move of God, I believe. And he went on to say, strategic changes were taking place. Whatever had worked like clockwork would not work now. People of peace were making war, and warring nations calmed down. And, you know, Trump's been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize for stopping wars and making peace. For the warring nations, it was like the wind was taken out of their sails, just as Egypt, Persia, Babylon, Rome, Britain, etc. were all once superpowers, empires, but their reign and era ended. So now any superpower or aspiration thereof was being diffused. Nations that were looked up to were now beginning to be looked down upon, and vice versa. Balance of power and favor had shifted east. Angels in the west held gold books. One book was titled Most Wanted. The other, Most Favored. The Most Wanted book had living photographs of the most evil people, the traitors, etc. Yeah, there's nothing hidden that won't be revealed. Each one was dealt with and disposed. That's exactly what they're doing now. And they're being hunted down as they once did to the poor or the righteous. He went on to say, the most favored in the other gold book with living photographs were some of those who had lived through the most desolate conditions. Such were lifted up. All that is related here, remember, was happening all at once. And so it is. In the midst of all this, I heard the angels sing, glory, glory, glory. Time was sped up in some places, in others it was slowed down. Wild beasts were all crouching in fear, afraid. I saw milk inside of cows curdle. Just one roar of the lion. I saw eagles fitted with miniature bells. The bells were so minute, it was hard to believe that if they rang, any could hear them. But eagles did not speak. They just carried the bells that were fitted to their beaks. people were to read the sounds. The sound is a discernment that is not seen. Sound is not seen, right? It must be translated by the hearer. Amen. And wheresoever the eagles flew, to some the ringing of the bells was as a very high deafening pitch. I was not allowed to hear this high pitch sound, because that was for the wicked, right? But it was revealed to me that it was an unbearable, deafening, high-pitched sound. And, you know, sound can kill, But there were others who heard the same bells which the eagles had attached to their beaks, and to these the sound transmitted was different. It was sheer music. I heard this. Such people had their hands lifted high, and they were happily sighing and exclaiming, "Finally." And others will discern life and deliverance, right? I saw angels collect gold crowns from those in the north, and they dipped the crowns in a smoky place, the kind of smoke one sees with dry ice, which is not really smoke. And when the crowns emerged from the smoke, they looked exactly the same, but now they were silver. Well, crowns, of course, speak of rulers, kings, whatever. And we know that the rich have ruled over the world with a heavy hand, just as the Lord spoke in the Bible. But the new rulers' wealth is going to be distributed, and it's being distributed. It's being collected and distributed. So that's why their crown is worth less, right? Silver. No matter in which direction I looked, all had changed. It seemed that the very nature of nature changed. Volcanoes that were dormant, the ashes were removed, and a new fire was lit in them. It seemed that certain species suddenly became extinct. That's something that happens with the shift of the planet, too, by the way. Shifting of the planet by Nibiru will make some creatures which are used to warm weather freeze or whatever. Reams of paper fell from the sky. Paper and pens were sent down for chroniclers and historians, for it was going to be a busy time for them. Nothing of all creation was left untouched at just one roar of the lion. Outside, the earth looked still, but within were rapid-fire changes, quick, sudden. Some were devastating, others surprisingly favorable, but this favor was mostly for the east. Well, I don't know if you've noticed, but or you've heard that fireballs are going to fall in the western hemisphere from Nibiru. I saw what looked like a flight path that normally airlines describe on their brochures as routes of flights destinations. For profits, their flight paths were moved from here to there, as if randomly. But it was not random. It was the plan of God for prophets. Prophets will be suddenly moved and see things from a new vantage point. Well, this has happened. We once saw the deep state plan to devastate Christianity here in America, and now everything has changed through prayer. They're still going to get to devastate apostate Christianity, but it's going to turn the people to God. Yeah. I saw some people become tar, while others became fountains of water, just like one roar of the lion. Yeah. That reminded me of Isaiah, where he talked about the curl that would be known for what he is. You know, there's curls out there that they, put on a face as though they're Christians. Isaiah 32, 2 through 8. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind. A man. I believe that that's talking about the man child. And a covert from the tempest. As streams of water in a dry place, as shade of a great rock in a weary land. Notice how that the righteous who are in the shadow of this man, which is Jesus and the man child, they'll be preserved through all of this. They won't sense the same things that other people sense, like the sound, right? And the eyes of them that that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. And the heart of the rash shall understand knowledge. And the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. The fool shall no more called noble, shall be no more called noble, nor the curl said to be bountiful. Yeah, the faction in the church and the government are turning this way. They are curls. Verse 6, for the fool will speak folly, and his heart will work iniquity to practice profaneness and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry and to cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. And the instruments of the curl are evil. He deviseth wicked devices to destroy the meek with lying words, even when the needy speak aright. But the noble devises noble things, and the noble things shall he in noble things shall he continue. Many changes took place in the universe. On earth, snows of old melted, and water in unlikely places froze. It's no ordinary thing when the lion roars. Again, I think this is a shift of the planet. Those dressed warm in the winter had their clothes taken away, and they were left naked. But the naked street dweller was clothed. There was a divine transfer of wealth, knowledge, and understanding, and it's happening. People who talked and talked for years had their mouths taped. Oh, that would be great. But as in Ezekiel 24 and 2, those that had been mute for a season now spoke. So God will anoint the humble with grace, right? As the vision progressed, I heard the Lord say, my people have no roof over their head. I am the roof. I was flown speedily over building after building. And as we flew, I heard the Lord say, not mine, not mine, not mine, not mine, not mine, not mine. And now I was despairing. I said, what then was God's? Well, you know, the building of the apostates will be proven not to be part of his kingdom. The fancy buildings, the fancy churches, and so on and so forth, they're going to be proven not to be a part of his kingdom. As in Eve's dream that we just shared. Then I was shown people in the fields with instruments. They had no roof over their heads. These were God's own. Well, discipleship will be out of the churches and into the highways and the byways, and they're going to love it. Yes. The buildings we flew over were demolished by an elephant's trunk, and many TV studios had a fire underneath them. Apparently, these buildings had been rebuilt on the same grounds where prior buildings had been condemned and burned. These new buildings had been built on the foundations of charred remains and ashes. Well, you know, buildings of apostates will have no protection. Anything that they have built as far as their house, which is a spiritual house, has no protection. Their judgments will be a foundation of understanding and the fear of God. You know, this what the lion's roar is what began the people to get this revelation and to walk out of the place, you see. I saw oil poured out from the sky, and in two separate ways. One fell over people who gladly received it over them and laughed in the oil rain. On the other hand, for others, the oil rain caused to be set aflame all that was below it. Yeah, God's anointing will rain down as the latter rain, but will bring anointed judgment with it upon the wicked. All that was up to the present became obsolete, and new technology, the secrets of which were hidden in nature, appeared. That's happening. Trump is releasing a lot of new technology, and we ain't seen nothing yet. These new technologies hidden by the elite who thrived on oil wars will be released, as Trump has said. And the oil economy is on its way out. Yeah. Science made simple but profound discoveries. I saw scientists have a eureka moment. For many who were researching, studying, and looking for the thing, quote unquote, it was right there before their very noses. Once they saw it, they slapped their foreheads, lamenting, "Silly me." Follies of science were exposed. The simplicity of the discoveries to come were mind-boggling. Yes, if the Lord doesn't open your eyes, they won't be opened, right? Just one roar of the lion, the very nature of nature seemed to be changing. It was as unbelievable as Isaiah 11:6-8. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. In some places I saw an overabundance of wheat, which flowed into the sea as it was so plentiful. But in other places I saw land, which was once green and was now parched land where nothing grew. I saw beautiful blooms on cactus desert plants. He who understands these changes will prepare. The earth was in a global eclipse. One half had light, the other half was in darkness. Well, Nibiru is reputed to pull the south pole towards the sun, while the northern hemisphere points out into darkness. And as far as I know, nobody thinks that this is going to last very long. We could be fooled, I don't know. It seemed that plates were shifted, removed from the earth, which is another effect of Nibiru. And there were people who raged against God, saying, "We'll do what we have to. Let him do what he wants to," they were saying. Trees trembled. They knew that their time to be cut had come. To many, prophets and counselors were restored. But from others, the prophets and counselors departed. Sadly, those from whom they departed noticed it not. I can understand that. Prophets and counselors that had no eternal effect for good are not missed. Had no prophecy from God, healing, deliverance, they're not missed, right? And he said, focus or emphasis of the church and the world due to the presence of new circumstances changed. And all this by just one roar of the lion. Interesting. A reversal of fortunes. Well, Father, you always know best. You always know best. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing. We know that people in prosperity take you for granted more and more. And those in need are hungry for you. They know that you meet needs. They've seen you meet needs. And Lord, when tragedy and judgment falls upon the earth, those that are content in their church going suddenly realize they need you. Lord, I'll be the first to say that nobody needs me. They need Jesus. And I pray and I ask God, and I've been doing it. Lord, we need Jesus. Send Jesus. Jesus in us is the way. And he's coming to live in us. Christ in you. The hope of glory. God's glory is going to be manifested through the people who invite him to take over. And they're willing to give up their hand on the reins, right? Father, we ask you in Jesus' name that you do have mercy on all those hungry souls out there who have been in such misery, and they're ready to say, finally, finally, you know, finally they're coming out, you know. And we've seen people like that, especially in the East, like you said here, people that are hungry and calling out to God and very appreciative of what God's doing for them. And they so quickly embrace the gospel. It's amazing. It's amazing. I say, this is happening. This is happening. And Lord, we know that, you know, you are our roof. Everywhere we go, Lord, you will be our roof. You will be our shelter from the elements, our shelter from the wicked. You will be our roof. We thank you, Lord, for being our salvation in every way possible. And we thank you that Jesus is coming. And we're looking forward to the great revival that he's bringing with him, and in this latter rain movement, which will start with the man child, but end up all through the church. And we thank you, Father, for doing this and being our God, being our Savior, and drawing us unto you and sanctifying us and delivering us from evil, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Well, all right, saints, I hope you got something out of this, and God bless you and keep you. We'll do this again sometime. Good night.